Welcome to the Better Part Podcast. I'm Jenna Scott, a wife, mom of seven, and most importantly, daughter of Christ. Jesus wants more for us than the chaos, comparisons, and confusion of this modern life. Let's grow toward Him as we journey through motherhood together. Hello, hello. Thanks for being here today. How are you? How are you doing? I am doing okay. I keep mentioning this because it's true, but I'm big pregnant. So that's how I'm doing right now. But it's not too bad. It's not too bad. I've been through many a pregnancy, and some of the last weeks of pregnancy have been worse than other last weeks of pregnancy. And this is not among the worst. So that's great. But doing pretty good over here. How is Lent going for you? I realized as I was recording this that this is going to come out during Lent, maybe in the first few weeks of Lent, and maybe the second week of Lent. I am currently preparing for Lent right now, and it's tricky because I'll be big pregnant for the very first part of Lent, and then I'll be postpartum. And there's just no predicting it, guys, right? There's just no predicting it. That's just what it's like as a mom, isn't it? Like, you just don't know. And right now, I even feel like the hormones just like fluctuating in and out of me, because there will be times where I'm like, yes, I'm diving into Lent. I'm reading these 5 books. I am giving up all food. You know, I'm just like pumped up, right? I'm going to Mass every day, twice a day. I'm going to go, you know, just super, super excited. And then there are other days where I'm like, can't quite get out of my seat. I think I'm just going to stay here for the rest of the day. So I'm just all over the place. And so making kind of like a decision on a resolution is tricky for me. And also just knowing that I don't know exactly what's coming in postpartum. And I was very encouraged by a mom that I know, a friend of mine, who I just admire so much. I think she is just wonderful, and she has just a rockin' prayer life. And she really takes it easy during postpartum and just tries to lean into the sacrifices that are naturally a part of motherhood. And that is one of the graces of motherhood, isn't it? That, I mean, I say graces. It's not fun a lot of times, but there are a lot of sacrifices that just come in motherhood. And there are a lot of times that we just have to sacrifice, whether we like it or not. So I think that there's a good goal in there of just like trying to lean into that. And every time a sacrifice is thrust upon us, to choose to accept it willingly, hug it, you know, carry it like the cross that Jesus carried, right? I mean, not that our children are a cross, they're such a blessing, but I think you know what I'm saying, right? Little sufferings that come along the way and little sacrifices. I've just been thinking so much about Jesus carrying his cross and just like the crazy perseverance that was happening there. Like, he just did not have to do that. He did not have to take all of those steps carrying a tree, you know, after being beaten and ridiculed and probably not getting a lot of sleep. I mean, I think about that all the time. Like, how much sleep did he get during all these trials and stuff beforehand? But he was so tired and his body was falling apart and he was just continuing to carry his cross. So I'm hoping to kind of unite with him in that, with whatever sacrifices come my way. And, you know, that's sometimes how it goes, right? Like, when I was younger, I used to love Lent, guys. I loved it. I loved it. I don't know if you can tell from these episodes, but I tend to lean into sometimes to like penances, contrition, those kind of things. Like, they really help me in my spiritual life. So they're really good. So I loved Lent, like loved it. But I also realized as I became an adult that a lot of penances that I took on were a lot more about me growing in self-control, me seeing what I could handle. I mean, they were a lot about just me. Like, I'm going to power through and I'm going to do this and I'm going to prove that I'm a good Christian, good Catholic. I can handle it, you know? And I think that kind of misses the spirit. Like, I heard one time that it's not really like what we can do, it's what we need to do in order to grow in relationship with the Lord. And so I hope that whatever's going on for you in Lent, whatever resolutions you've made, whether you've made some or not, I hope that you're using it to draw closer to God, because it's not about doing the thing as much as being transformed by the thing, right? So giving up social media is great. Maybe it breaks some habits, or giving up sweets or whatever, like complaining. One time I had a friend who gave up complaining, which sounds kind of hard. Is that a complaint about giving up complaining? It sounds hard, but these things are good, you know, like these are good habits to create, but alone, they're not necessarily transforming our hearts if we're not offering them to God and seeing how He wants to transform them, right? Am I becoming dependent on food or on a certain amount of finances that I expect, or I don't know, acceptance or admiration of others through social media or distraction, you know? And is there a way I can depend more on God? And God, how do you want to speak to me through that? So I hope that whatever you're doing, you're able to use it to bring you closer to God. There was one Lent, this glorious, glorious Lent. I'm trying to think. I think it was 2022. And I don't even remember what I did, guys. Like, I don't even think it was that big of resolution or anything like that. But it was so transformative. And I remember coming to Easter, probably riding high on consolations, let's be real. But I was just so happy and thrilled. Like, I was smiling all morning, like all through Mass. Like, I was just thinking about this person, this friend of mine, Jesus, that like I had grown close to. And like, here it was, like the anniversary of like the best day of his life. And I was just so excited and happy. And I guess it was a sign of how that Lent had transformed me in a way. And so I guess that's my hope, is for each of us to have some sort of transformation so that by the time we come to Easter, we can come and fully celebrate because we've just truly given of ourselves and we've truly taken a step forward toward the Lord. So anyway, that's my hope for you. That's my whole preface. I am now going into the meditation, but I just kind of got off track talking about Lent. So sorry about that. I hope that it can be thoughtful for you too. But today we are going to do our very first led meditation episode. I'm so excited. I'm so happy and looking forward to this. We're going to do some imaginative prayer today, and I hope it's really useful to you. I just think this is a beautiful way to see Jesus through a new light. What we're going to do is we're going to read a passage from the gospel, and then I'm going to kind of lead you through some questions to kind of picture what this might look like, and then we'll read through the passage again. And you will try to kind of play this out as if you were a person in the scene. So I'll lead you through it. You might have done this before, or you might not have, but I am hopeful that it's going to aid you in prayer and hopefully help you see God a little bit clearer today. So I really hope it's great for you. Some people sometimes call this Lectio Divina. Maybe this is also called Lectio Divina. I call it imaginative prayer. But there's also another form of Lectio Divina, and I've mentioned this to y'all before in the meditative prayer episode, but it's just another really great way to meditate on scripture. So for both of these types of prayer, I went ahead and put links in the show notes. So if you like this imaginative prayer, or perhaps you want to meditate on scripture, but you want maybe a little bit more of a formal formula that you can follow, you could look at the Lectio Divina link, or you could look at this imaginative prayer link. And those are both really great links. They explain how to do these prayers very clearly, very succinctly. I think that they would be very useful for you if you haven't prayed like this before, or perhaps you just want a little bit more guidance as you go about it on your own. So look at those links if you want to, but this one's going to be the imaginative prayer today. I hope it's really great. So we're about to start it. I would like to encourage you before, if you want to do this meditation with me, then take a moment now to kind of pause the episode and get yourself in a comfortable position. Like, if you think you're thirsty, like, drink a little water first. Maybe go to the bathroom if you need to go to the bathroom, or just get yourself in like a good place. get yourself in your prayer chair or whatever. Get yourself kind of calm, calm your body. Maybe if you have your phone on you right now, put it on Do Not Disturb. Just take a minute to take some deep breaths before we begin so that you can kind of enter into this fully. And I'll let you do that now if you want to pause this. And then we'll just go ahead and begin. So we'll begin with the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me." Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." At this time, John the Baptist had already developed a following. Many people came to be baptized by him and to hear him speak. How many people do you imagine at the Jordan River that day? And how do they seem to feel about John? Though John was Jesus' cousin, he clearly knew there was something special about Jesus. How do you imagine John reacted once Jesus had arrived? And how do you think that affected the other people who were there? In Mark's gospel, he says that after Jesus was baptized, the heavens were torn open. What do you imagine that looked like? Now take a moment to think about the people in the story. Do any of the characters stand out to you? As the passage is read again, imagine taking the place of that character and watching the whole scene unfold before you, reacting just as you naturally would if you were that character. Use your senses to set the scene before the passage is read again. What do you see at the Jordan River that day? How do you imagine the weather? What can you hear? What can you smell or taste? Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me." Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus' identity as beloved Son was called out very obviously that day. Can you imagine your identity being called out by God the Father today? Can you imagine Him saying about you, "This is my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased"? Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.